So at the beginning of our gospel, Jesus says, "Do not have any fear, little flock." And then he tells a parable, and at the end, it ends with someone being severely beaten. Our Lord isn't easy to pin down. You wouldn't want him to be easy to pin down. When we start to think that we know what Jesus is all about, we're projecting our own desires on him. We have to look what he says, read the scriptures, and pray. Let's start with the severe beating. Get it out of the way. We know neither who is condemned nor saved other than the saints. We'll start with a beating. Why does a servant get beaten? It's not doing the master's will. Even the servant who gets a less severe beating, a light beating, still gets beaten. And he gets beaten for not doing the master's will. Throughout the Gospels, throughout the New Testament, we see this theme of doing God's will. Mary is so rightly praised for saying to God, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ himself says to the Father, "Not my will be done, but yours." We pray every Mass, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It's important to do God's will. When we talk about God's will, certain philosophers have made an important distinction. The distinction between God's permissive will and God's active will, or sometimes God's perfect will, it's called. But basically, the difference between what God allows to happen, what he permits, but doesn't really like, doesn't want it to happen, doesn't wish that it will happen, and what he actively wants for you and actively wants to see, what will bring him joy, what tends to bring us joy. He'll permit me to steal $500. He actively wants me to give $500 away to the poor. This is a helpful distinction, and it's a distinction that's meant to capture two facts about reality. One is that God is omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, all-knowing, creator of everything. And two, we know from Scripture, the world is fallen. It's subject to principalities and powers, evil spirits, sin, death, Satan. These are all operative in the world. And Jesus came and died on the cross to save us from all of these, to liberate us from these forces, save us from sin, from death, from evil. But that work won't be completed until the end, the new heavens and a new earth, when all will be all in all. And so we live in this fallen world, and sometimes that can make it harder to see God's active will. What does God want? There's all this sin that's exerting its influence on others, exerting its influence on me. And it also makes it harder to follow God's will, his active will, when we see it, because we're subject to these forces. But it becomes even more important in many ways to follow God's active will in the fallen world. Give you an example. Walter Chizik was a Jesuit, an American Jesuit. He's not a canonized saint yet, but God willing, he will be one day. He actually went to seminary in Michigan at the Polish Seminary in Orchard Lake. Father Chizik was a Jesuit, and he volunteered to go over to Russia when the Soviet Union came to power and started persecuting the churches, imprisoning and killing priests and nuns. He prepared, he trained, he got ready, and he went over. And he got arrested. And he spent 4 years in solitary confinement, where he was essentially tortured. alone in a cell, interrogation after interrogation. He was sentenced then to more than a decade of hard labor in the mines, frigid temperatures, working in Siberia, 40 below zero, hour after hour after hour, with no breaks, little food and water. And then when he got out, he wasn't sent back to the United States. He was kept under surveillance in Russia. And when he started to do ministry, they'd move him. 23 years of his life was spent under Soviet watch. God permitted him to be treated that way. Didn't actively will it. But when Walter Chizik got out, he came back to America, he wrote some books about his time. And one of them is He Leadeth Me. And Father Chizik wrote a chapter on freedom and how when he was in the cell and doing the work, it occurred to him that no matter what anyone else did to him, no matter how badly he was treated, he always had the option to do God's will. Didn't matter what anybody else did, he could choose to act with love or to act with hatred, to do good or to do evil, to put himself first or to put other people first. In every moment of every day, he had that ability to store up treasure in heaven, and nobody could take that from him. We probably won't be in a gulag at any point in our lives. Not even you, Lee. But we do live in a fallen world, and things happen to us all the time that we don't like. Some inflicted by others, some we inflict on ourselves. And Father Chizik's lesson is valuable for us too. Maybe some examples closer to Pinckney, closer to us. Suppose you lost your job, and you're having real financial hardships, and you don't know how you're going to feed your children or to pay your rent. You don't have expendable income at all, and you see a homeless person on the street. And if you had $1 million, you'd happily split it with him. But you don't. You don't have anything. You can still choose to look at him, to make eye contact with him, maybe to shake his hand and ask what his name is. No matter what's happened to you, you can still choose to treat this man with respect and acknowledge his dignity as someone made in God's image. Or suppose you made some bad decisions in your life. You've torched all your relationships, burned every bridge, alienated everyone close to you. You call up your brother, and he treats you with anger, reacts against you. Doesn't matter what you did before. In that moment, when you're on that phone, you can still choose to treat him with charity, to be polite, to apologize. In that moment, God is offering you the grace to start building up treasure in heaven. Or maybe you're here at St. Mary in Pinckney, the 9 a.m. Mass, and you go to Mass, maybe not every Sunday, and you have a heart for the poor, compassion for the immigrant, but if you're honest, You don't really put those feelings into action with how you spend your money or your time. And maybe you pray some, but it's been a while since you've been to confession. In this moment, at this time, right here, as I'm speaking now, you have the option to start storing up treasure in heaven. You could say, for instance, right now, God, give me the grace to start putting into action these feelings I have about the poor, to start serving them actively. When Father Dan holds up the Eucharist, you can choose to look at it, to think about what you're seeing, to say in your head, "My Lord and my God." You can choose after Mass to tap Father Dan on the shoulder and quietly say, "Father, I'd like to schedule a time for confession to really start kicking my discipleship into gear." Doesn't matter who you are, how you've gotten here, what you've done, in this moment, at this time, this instant, God is giving you the grace to start storing up more treasure in heaven. Do not be afraid.